Spreading the Glad News. Chapter 25. It seemed as though all South Lancaster had come to bid Elder and Mrs. Asa T. Robinson God's blessing as they started on their long trip to South Africa. Through the din of last-minute hustle and bustle, the sweet voices of the Academy Choir floated through the station. Lift up the trumpet, and loud let it ring. Jesus is coming again. All aboard, shouted the conductor. Loretta and Asa leaned out the train windows, waving farewell. The platform was crowded with friends, but Loretta had eyes only for Urban and Doris. Doris stood dry-eyed close to Grandma Cynthia. All his tears had been shed a few weeks before, near the little white church in Washington, New Hampshire. The family had gone to visit Uncle Cyrus. Father Asa preached that Sabbath and told about his call to Africa. The hardest part of going, he said, is that we must leave our children behind. For the moment he had forgotten that he had not yet told the boys that it was thought best for them to remain in school. Urban had guessed it, but to Doris it was like a great clap of thunder. He felt everything sinking away down inside of him. When church was out, he rushed into the woods and threw himself on the green-covered earth. Great sobs shook his body. It was here, hidden in the ferns, that his mother found him. Lovingly, with tears in her own voice, Loretta explained that there was no school for him in Africa. Everything would be new and strange. They must go first to prepare the way. Just as soon as we are settled, we will send for you, she added hopefully. Now the hour of parting had come. The train began to move. Urban and Doris ran beside the window. We'll send for you. It won't be long, shouted Father Asa. The boys understood, even though the lumps in their throats nearly choked them. They waved dry-eyed until the train was a speck in the distance. We'll send for you. It won't be long, kept ringing in their hearts during the next year, as they faithfully went on with their studies. They were proud of their brave parents, for in 1892 there were only a few Seventh-day Adventist missionaries in all the world. One never knows what to expect when one has a large family of grown-up children. Mother Cynthia was nearly dizzy with all the changes. Almost as soon as Asa and Loretta left, she was busy helping Nellie make her bridesmaid's dress for Orville's church wedding. Almer was best man. After the excitement of the wedding was over, Orville and his bride sailed away to Ireland as missionaries. Then, to Cynthia's great joy, Eugene and his wife moved to South Lancaster, he to be the new Bible teacher. It was wonderful to have them near. Now, thought Cynthia, things are going to be quiet around here. The excitement is over. But one day, Doris dashed into the house, shouting and waving a letter. They've sent for us. We're going to Africa. They have started a school near Cape Town. So now there was more excitement getting the boys packed off on the great ship. For 8 weeks, they sailed southward over the deep Atlantic Ocean. The joy of being together with their parents was tremendous, but so was the surprise they found awaiting them, a pretty baby sister. We named her Gladys because we're so glad to have her, Loretta laughed gaily. Back in South Lancaster, Ernest and Merton were finishing their schoolwork and getting ready to graduate, when who should arrive for a visit but Fred Mead and his family. We're on our way to Africa, they announced. We will see Asa and Loretta in Cape Town. From there we will travel by ox team for 6 weeks into the heart of Africa to Salusi Mission. Few white people have been there. It will be very exciting and dangerous, but God's hand will be over us. Yes, God will be with you as you go to our first mission for the heathen people. Some day, said Cynthia, her eyes sparkling, some day we will have mission stations all over this world. What more could I want for my children? And my nephew, she looked at Fred, than that they should spread this glad news of salvation to others. Alton, Melbourne, and Ernest had always wanted to be farmers, missionary farmers, they said. A few years later, they moved far north into Canada to a place where there were no Seventh-day Adventists. Here they bought their farms and then visited every English-speaking family for 20 miles around. Within a short time, they built a little church which had 40 members. Once Eugene went to visit his brothers in Canada, Alton drove the horse and buggy 30 miles to the station to meet him. On the way back, he showed Eugene the many homes in which Russian families lived. "We cannot speak their language, and they cannot speak ours. How, oh how, can we tell them of Jesus' soon coming?" he asked Eugene. "I'll send you some of our papers and books written in Russian," was Eugene's immediate reply. And sure enough, within a short time, a large box filled with the gospel message printed in Russian arrived. The Russian farmers read the message eagerly. They wanted to know more. A minister who could speak Russian was sent to study with them. He soon baptized 106 new believers. They built a church, but many more people became interested, and soon the church was too small. They had to build a larger one. The Farnsworth boys found that farmers can be missionaries. Halfway around the world, in Australia, Ellen G. White was saying, "We need a strong evangelist to preach the message to the people here. Let's send for Eugene Farnsworth." In a short time, Eugene and his wife were on their way to Africa. Again, Mrs. White said, "We need someone with experience to help organize our workers here. Asa T. Robinson has led out well in Africa. Let's send for him." Soon Asa, Loretta, and their family were in Australia. One day, Mrs. White was talking with Asa. She said, "I need someone who can take shorthand and type." "Why, Sister White," said Asa, "my son Dorries does well with both. He learned shorthand when he was 9 and has owned his own typewriter since he was 10. "Just what I want," exclaimed Mrs. White. Dorries was delighted. Many times Mrs. White must have remembered her trip to Washington, New Hampshire, in the sleigh, that bitter cold Christmas in 1867, when Eugene, Loretta, and Orville Farnsworth and Fred Meade took their stand for God. She knew why God had sent her. When Mrs. White returned from Australia to California, Dorries became one of her secretaries. For 13 years, he had the privilege of taking down her talks in shorthand, of typing her letters and visions, and of being her next-door neighbor. He also married her granddaughter. Years later, Dorries and his family went to Africa as missionaries. Yes, even now, his son is preaching the gospel there. Scattered here and there around the world, William Farnsworth's children's children are holding hands with other Adventists in spreading the glad news of salvation. The other day I saw one of William's great-great-grandsons. He was going to school. "What do you plan to do with your life?" I asked him. His blue eyes shone deeply as he instantly replied, "I am preparing to be a missionary. I want to be accounted among the many Adventist youth who will be lifting high the torch of truth when Jesus comes." How happy William Farnsworth would be if he could see the thousands of you boys and girls who are today preparing yourselves to spread the glorious gospel light far and near. God is counting on you. Here is a message from Ernest E. Farnsworth. This was one of the children of William Farnsworth. "The Lord has given me life, and I have celebrated my 100th birthday. Of all these 100 years, the first 15 or 20 were the most important. During those early years, I learned habits of work and study and worship that I still have. During those years, I learned to love my Savior, and every day since, that early love has grown deeper and stronger."